Leviticus chapter 27, verses 9 through 15. This is the word of the Lord. If the vow is an animal that may be offered as an offering to the Lord, all of it that he gives to the Lord is holy. He shall not exchange it or make a substitute for it, good for bad or bad for good. And if he does, in fact, substitute one animal for another, then both it and the substitute shall be holy. And if it is any unclean animal that may not be offered as an offering to the Lord, then he shall stand the animal before the priest, and the priest shall value it as either good or bad. As the priest values it, so it shall be. But if he wishes to redeem it, he shall add a fifth to the valuation. When a man dedicates his house as a holy gift to the Lord, the priest shall value it as either good or bad. As the priest values it, so it shall stand. And if the donor wishes to redeem his house, he shall add a fifth to the valuation price, and it shall be his. This is the word of the Lord. I will come into your house with burnt offerings. I will perform my vows to you. That which my lips uttered and my mouth promised when I was in trouble. I will offer to you burnt offerings of fattened animals with the smoke of the sacrifice of rams. I will make an offering of bulls and goats. Psalm 66, verses 13 through 15. In Leviticus chapter 27, God's people offer themselves to him, and they offer their possessions to him. In verses 1 through 8, we see that a person may be vowed to the Lord. And in verses 9 through 13, we see that an animal may be vowed to the Lord. And last Lord's Day, we noted the distinction between verses 9 and 10. And verses 11 through 13 of our passage. In verses 9 and 10, the animal that is vowed is an animal that may be offered to the Lord on his altar, including livestock from the herd or from the flock, such as those which David mentions in Psalm 66. Rams, bulls, and goats. But in verses 11 through 13, the animal that is vowed is an animal that may not be offered to the Lord on his altar, such as a donkey or a horse. Instead, it is vowed to the Lord for use in the service of his house. It is not sacrificed on his altar, but it is still good for service in his house. Now, within both of these groups, the animals vowed, the animals given. They could be either good or bad. For animals that could be offered on the altar, a good animal was one that was without blemish, while a bad animal would have been one that was blemished in some way. This is explicit in Deuteronomy chapter 17. Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse 1, "You shall not sacrifice to the Lord your God an ox or a sheep in which is a blemish, any defect, whatever." And the Hebrew word translated as defect in Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse 1, it is the same word that is translated as bad in Leviticus chapter 27, verse 10. Of the animals that could be offered on the altar to the Lord, a bad animal would have been one in which there was a blemish. Now, when an animal that could be offered on the altar to the Lord, when such an animal was vowed, it could not be unvowed. One could not substitute bad for good or good for bad. But if someone did in fact substitute one for the other, then both it and the substitute were holy. And in this we see the beauty of Christ and the gospel. For you are vowed to the Lord, and yet all of you are blemished. Not one of you is perfect. Not one of you is without sin. But Christ was sinless. Christ was perfect. Christ was without blemish. And he offered himself for you. He offered himself in your place. The good for the bad. But what happens to the bad? Is it rejected? Is it discarded? Is it cast out? No. But rather, it also is holy. According to Leviticus chapter 27, both it and the substitute shall be holy. Through Christ's offering of himself for the church becomes holy. Both shall be holy, both Christ and the church. This was the marriage vow of Christ to his bride. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. To give himself up for her, that he might sanctify her. He might present her to himself in splendor, that she might be holy and without blemish, that you might be holy and without blemish. Leviticus chapter 27, of those animals that could be offered to the Lord on his altar when the good was substituted for the bad, then both were holy. And so it is with Christ and the church. The good was substituted for the bad, that both might be holy, that you might be holy, which is what you are in Christ. You are vowed to the Lord. You belong to the Lord. He does not lose what belongs to him. He does not allow what belongs to him to be taken from him. He will not allow you to be taken from him. Verses 9 and 10 of our passage concern those animals that could be offered to the Lord on his altar. And verses 11 through 13 concern those animals that could not be offered to the Lord on his altar, and yet they still could be vowed to the Lord. They could still be vowed to the Lord to be used in his service. This is how we are to understand the animals being unclean. As it was unclean, it could not be sacrificed. As it was unclean, it could not be eaten. And yet it still could be used in the service of the Lord. And when such an animal was vowed to the Lord, the one who vowed it was to stand it before the priest. And the priest was to value it as either good or bad. Now here in verse 13, what is translated as either good or bad could also be translated as between good and bad. And verses 9 and 10, concerning that animal that could be sacrificed, the distinction between good and bad is absolute. What was vowed was either good or it was bad. It was either unblemished or it was blemished. But in verses 11 through 13, the distinction is relative. In verses 11 through 13, an animal was judged according to the degree of its perfection. It was judged as between good and bad. A more perfect animal would receive a higher valuation by the priest, and a less perfect animal would receive a lower valuation by the priest. It was valued according to the degree of its perfection. It was valued according to its being between good and bad. And however the priest valued it, that was its value. That became its price. And the priest's valuation was very important if someone wished to redeem what he had vowed. An animal that could be sacrificed once vowed could not be redeemed. But an animal that could not be sacrificed once vowed, it could be redeemed. The vower could buy it back. He could exchange what he had vowed with money. But the price of that redemption, it was set according to the valuation of the priest. However the priest valued it, that was its value, that was its price. And in order to redeem it, the vower had to pay not only that price, but he had to add a fifth to its valuation. Now, the text does not tell us why it had to be a fifth, but we may at least note that a fifth would have been equivalent to a double tithe. All that to say, when something was vowed to the service of the Lord, it was valued between good and bad, as more perfect or less perfect. And this was not only true of animals, as in verses 11 through 13, but it was also true of houses as well, as we read in verses 14 and 15. Such a possession was valued according to its degree of perfection. The more perfect it was, the greater its valuation would be, and the less perfect it was, the less its valuation would be. And so here we see how important it was for a priest to be a man of understanding, to be a man of discernment, to be a man of good judgment, for he had to be able to distinguish between the good and the bad. Now, this phrase, good and bad, it takes us back to the beginning. It takes us back to the garden. It takes us back to Adam. As we have worked our way through Leviticus, we have seen various ways in which Leviticus informs our understanding of Genesis. Ways in which it informs our understanding of Adam in the garden, indicating that we are to understand that Adam in the garden of God, he was a priest. And in Leviticus chapter 27, we are reminded of this again. The priest of Leviticus chapter 27, he had to be able to distinguish between bad and good. The first time we see these words together in Scripture is in Genesis chapter 2, with the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The tree of the knowledge of good and bad. The same word used there in Genesis chapter 2 for evil is the word used here in Leviticus chapter 27 for bad. Now, we often think of that knowledge as something in itself bad. We often think of the knowledge of good and evil as something to be avoided. But the knowledge of good and evil, it's not bad, but good. The knowledge of good and evil is necessary if one is to judge rightly. That is why in 1 Kings chapter 3, Solomon asked the Lord for this knowledge. The Lord said to Solomon, "Ask from me whatever you want." And Solomon asked for the ability to distinguish between good and evil. He asked for the knowledge of good and bad. And his request pleased the Lord. For in asking for this knowledge, the knowledge of good and evil, the ability to distinguish between good and bad, Solomon
was expressing his desire to rule God's people justly and to judge them rightly. That is why the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was forbidden. Not because the knowledge of good and evil was a bad thing. But because one must receive it from the Lord. He cannot take it for himself. It was to test Adam. Would he seek that knowledge from the Lord? Or would he take it? Would he submit himself to the judgments of God? Or would he declare himself to be the judge of what is good and bad? Leviticus chapter 27, it reveals to us the necessity of a righteous priest. The necessity of a priest able to distinguish between good and bad and willing to render judgment accordingly. Leviticus chapter 27 reveals to us the necessity of a priest whose judgments are true and righteous. And this is no small thing. For the Old Testament ends without such a priest. In the book of Malachi, the Lord condemns his priests. He condemns them for despising his name, for despising his table, for offering what was lame and sick, for failing to judge rightly, for failing to distinguish between what was good and what was bad. Leviticus chapter 27 reveals to us the necessity of a faithful priest. So Leviticus chapter 27 reveals to us the necessity of Christ. The one whose judgments are true and just. The one who is able and willing to distinguish between the good and the bad. And as he is our priest, when we come before him, is able to distinguish between what is good and what is bad in us. Which is why he is able to sanctify us. He is able to distinguish between what is good and what is bad in you. And so he is able to sanctify you. He is able to cleanse from you what is bad. And build up in you what is good. But he does not do this all at once. So in this life there remains within you not only what is good, but also what is bad. There is a sense in which you all are between good and bad.
and the service and the works that you offer. They are not yet perfectly good. They also are between good and bad. But here, verses 11 through 13 of Leviticus chapter 27 are of great encouragement to you. For note that however good or however bad what is offered may be, nevertheless, it is accepted. However good or however bad what is offered may be, it is still accepted. And so it is with your priest. So it is with Christ. Whatever you offer to him, however good or however bad it may be, whatever is offered in him is accepted by God. First Peter chapter 2, verse 5. You yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Your offerings are acceptable to God in Christ. Nothing that you offer to God could ever withstand the severity of his judgment. Nothing that you offer to God, however good it might be, could ever withstand the severity of his judgment. And yet God is pleased not only to accept you in Christ, also to accept your works in him. To accept your service in him. However blemished those works may be, he looks upon them in his Son, and he is pleased to accept that which is sincere, although accompanied with many weaknesses and imperfections. You are not saved by good works, but you are saved for good works. You are not saved by your service to the Lord, but you are saved for service to the Lord. And here is your confidence in serving him. That however good or bad your works may be, however perfect or imperfect your praise may be, however complete or lacking your prayers may be, however great or small your giving may be,
However strong or weak your faith may be, your repentance may be, your love may be, God accepts it in Christ. And if that is how you are judged in Christ, it must be the way you judge in the church. As Christ distinguishes between what is good and what is bad, so the church must distinguish between what is good and what is bad. What Christ declares to be good, the church must declare to be good. And what Christ declares to be bad, the church must declare to be bad. But the church must also accept what Christ accepts. Christ does not approve what is imperfect, and yet he accepts us in our imperfection. And so as God accepts you in Christ, so also you must accept one another in Christ. Will you demand perfection from another before you accept him? Though God does not demand that from you. Will you require another service to be perfect before you accept it, though God does not require that of you? Will you remain impatient with one another while accepting the patience of God toward you? However good or bad your service may be, however perfect or imperfect, however complete or lacking, however great or small, however strong or weak, God accepts it in Christ, and so must you. This is what it means to love one another. This is what it means to love your wife. This is what it means to love your children. This is what it means to love your brother. This is what it means for Christ to love us. He is the one who strengthens you. He is the one who completes you. He is the one who perfects you. He is the one who sanctifies you. To be impatient with one another is to be impatient with him. As you are valued in him, so so it shall be. In Christ, you are perfect. And so it shall be. He will strengthen you. He will perfect you. He will sanctify you. He who began a good work in you will complete it. So serve him and wait for it with patience. Amen. Let us pray.